This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins me on the long line. He's the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins us every Monday afternoon to keep us updated about Virginia politics. How are you, sir? How was your weekend?
Hey, I'm doing great, Coy. We had a fabulous Easter here, and I hope everyone who celebrates that had one up your way, too.
Yes, indeed. I was telling you, before we went on the air, I was up in D.C. We did Mount Vernon, and the crowds were just unbelievable. And Bob, every license plate was like Texas, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. They came in for this Easter. I tell you, they came in from all over to see Washington.
They got one heck of a weekend to do it, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, the weather was perfect. Now, is it perfect in Richmond? Is the politics perfect, or what's going on? What's the latest?
You know, it's always fun, Coy, and it's always interesting. And even though, you know, they're out of the session right now, things are still perking down here.
So what, remind us again of the schedule. They're out of session, but they go back for that the veto session, right?
Yeah, I think they go back. I could have the date wrong. I think it's around, you know, April 20th, April 21st. They come in for one day. They deal with whatever the governor's amendments and vetoes are. And then they go home. And the real question now is whether there's going to be multiple sessions. The governor has said that if his government reform commission comes in with real suggestions about how to save money, he might implement them, which essentially would be budget decisions. And then secondly, he has said that if he can come up with a real transportation plan, one that can fund significant amount of improvements, he might call them back for a special transportation session. So the General Assembly is unlikely to see its last time in Richmond here in April. It really does appear that the governor is going to bring him back sometime this summer, at least once and maybe twice.
Now, we're talking with Bob Holsworth. VirginiaTomorrow.com is the website. Bob, you've been following Virginia politics for a long time, and you also know a great deal about other state governments around this great country. And there's everybody else does a little differently. I mean, there's folks who are in office and keep meeting all year long. There's some folks who go, you know, go to their state capitals,
you know,
even less than Virginia.
We have what they people call a citizen legislature, where really, you know, many of our legislators have full-time positions, full-time jobs outside the assembly. The assembly pays not very much per se. It pays less than $20,000 a year. And it's been our belief that we're better off having people who actually have to go home, make a living, pay the mortgage, then what would happen if we had a full-time legislature, because that would be a very different type of person that, you know, probably half, if not more, of the legislators we now have would probably be unwilling to serve in a full-time capacity, though we do have some people who essentially serve full-time even though they're paid part-time. And, you know, they might enjoy that situation, but the real fact of the matter is that Virginia, I think philosophically, has said we're better off having members of the General Assembly who go back home, you know, and are at the, you know, the Rotary meetings, and they're at the school board meetings, and they're dealing with the people who they represent on a day-to-day basis for 10 years, and or for 10 months out of the year, and that they're not here in Richmond 12 months simply going home on weekends like they do in Congress.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Holsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. I wonder if that also would tend to keep people out of politics who don't have, you know, a career path that would allow them to take off a couple of months like that and go to Richmond.
It probably does. There are some people who, you know, at times simply say, you know, I can't find a way to serve in the state legislature. Maybe I can serve in my locality, but I can't take that time out of my schedule. We actually saw a couple of retirements before the last General Assembly elections, particularly from business people who had been hard hit by the recession and who basically believed that their business needed their time. And if they own the business, their leadership in this really tough time. So we lost people like Clark Hogan and William Fralin, who essentially said that the demands of being down here 2 months were too much, given the responsibilities they had in their own businesses. And that's a shame to lose people that way. But overall, I actually do think we're better off with a part-time citizen legislature than a full-time permanent legislature that brings in an entirely different class of people into politics.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. It's Monday afternoon, Virginia Politics Update. So here's the quote. I closed a $4 billion shortfall without raising taxes. Who said it to whom, and what does it mean?
You know, Bob McDonald said that on CNBC the other night with Larry Kudlow. And, you know, Coy, when you take a look at governors, at the end of the day, people typically remember three or four sentences about them, you know? You know, George Allen put in the SOLs. George Allen, you know, eliminated parole. Jim Gilmore campaigned on the fact that he was going to end the car tax. People remember just a few sentences. And I think this is going to be one of the sentences they remember about Bob McDonald, that he closed a $4 billion budget shortfall. He didn't raise taxes. This plays well, I think, with the general public right now, who are very concerned about excessive government spending. It plays very well with the national GOP constituency, who are equally concerned about the fact that the GOP got the reputation during the Bush years for being big spenders themselves. The Democrats are going to want to hear how he's going to put money and solve Virginia's transportation crisis without raising taxes. But at the moment, I think it's a pretty good line for Bob McDonald to come out of that session with.
So a $4 billion shortfall, he didn't raise taxes. How did he do it, Bob?
Well, I think there were two or three different ways that they did it. You know, on one hand, they certainly cut some services. You know, they cut some safety net services. They cut some money that was going to education. And then secondly, they really deferred paying what you might say was the required payments, or the payments that VRS thought was required a few years ago, into the Virginia retirement system. So what's happened here is that the state has basically said that it's going to pay the money back with 7.5% interest when the economy turns around. But that probably is going to be a fairly large nut that we're still carrying in the state budget. And there were some fees that were raised as well. Now, some of the more conservative critics of McDonald have basically suggested that it's not absolutely accurate to say that he didn't raise taxes, given that there were some fees raised. But my sense is that given what the public normally thinks of as a general tax increase, McDonald has a lot of credibility with what he's just done.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, give us your take, the national politics that are involved, the state politics that are involved, and what you think is going to happen regarding offshore drilling.
Well, this is this was the big news last week, and the reaction got progressively muted and sort of tempered as the week went on. Secretary Salazar and President Obama announced that they would allow offshore drilling off the Virginia coast. This had been a huge campaign platform item by Bob McDonald and Bill Boling, who basically said that Virginia needs to become the, or could become, the energy capital of the East Coast, that we could develop all sorts of energy, green energy, but also oil and natural gas off the coast as well, particularly if we drilled. But what happened is that, you know, it just seemed that as every day went on last week, somebody, including the federal government, was throwing cold water on what they had just done. You know, Secretary Salazar came down, and instead of talking about Virginia as a potential energy capital, he said, we're going to take a look and see at what might be available out there. And then secondly, Senate Majority Leader Dick Sasslaw said that at the end of the day, he doesn't think that Virginia is going to gain a farthing that's going to be put into transportation from the royalties from oil drilling. And one of the big sticky issues that still has to be settled is that if we do have offshore drilling off our coast, what will Virginia get as a royalty? Some of the Gulf states now are getting over 30%, but the real problem is that this would, in all likelihood, take a congressional act. And what Sasslaw was saying is that he didn't see any reason that the inland states are all of a sudden going to turn over these royalties in huge amounts to Virginia. So at the end of the day, I think the McDonnell-Bowling administration here did get a fairly big victory, at least in the sense that we can now do that exploration. But what the economics of this are going to be over the long run still, to me, is highly uncertain.
Now, oil, we're talking with Bob Holsworth. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Oil is a international commodity. It's traded on the open market. just like, you know, oranges and pig bellies and, you know, all the stuff on the Chicago market. So it just goes out there. It's not like this oil is going to come up out of the water off the coast of Virginia and go to Virginia gas stations. It's just
not necessarily. I mean, I think what it does is that it positions Virginia's economy as having a stronger energy basis than it does right now. We provide, at the moment, an extraordinary array of services, particularly services that are utilized by the federal government in one form or another. We have a pretty well-diversified economy. We have a strong agricultural sector.
A great port, yeah.
And what McDonnell and Bowling want to do is essentially say that energy production ought to be an essential part of Virginia's economic future. There are a lot of business leaders who agree with this, who think it's a good idea, and they did get this real boost from the Obama administration last week. But what they didn't get is really sort of the clarity on the economic signals about what Virginia is going to eventually get out of this. And then you have the Senate Majority Leader, Dick Sassoulaw, not just throwing some cold water on this, but really a bucket of ice.
So that's all still being negotiated.
Right. Well, maybe. I mean, the question is whether, you know, and it's not negotiated at our level. A lot of this is negotiated at the federal level. And I think the combination of some of the resistance of the inland states with what still seems to be some reticence on the part of Secretary Salazar, Secretary of the Interior, leads me to think that we're going to be fighting this battle for a couple of years.
And we're talking with Bob Holsworth. And the oil, if they do, I mean, it's going to be some research first and some exploration, but if they do put these wells out there, from what I've read, they have to be beyond 50 miles, is that right?
Yeah, they have to be 50 miles beyond the coast. So the argument is that it won't have a terrible environmental impact. The argument is that it won't have a bad or negative impact on tourism. The questions that, you know, the other questions that arose last week was that the Navy was saying that, well, yes, they thought it might be a decent idea, but they're worried about naval operations. NASA's worried about their operations at Wallops Island. So what happened, again, is that we had the big announcement, and then every day that followed, we had some group beyond what you would consider the expected environmental critics to be raising issues about whether or not this was going to be feasible and economically productive. Again, I think the McDonnell administration believes they're in a better position today than they were a week ago on the matter. But at the same time, it's hard to say that the vision has a clear path to realization without having to overcome some pretty significant obstacles.
I'll tell you, Bob, I was out in Santa Barbara a couple of weeks ago in California, and they've got oil platforms that you can see from the beach. I mean, they're just like a mile off, if that. They're like right near the Channel Islands, and there's like a whole bunch of them out there.
Right, and in part, McDonnell and Bowling have been saying that, you know, many other states are doing this, that this is, this is really part of the economic future of Virginia, and we would be, in some sense, irresponsible if we didn't pursue it. But at the same time, this one, as I said, they got a good step forward last week. But this whole issue is not settled, and we're going to be reading, hearing, and arguing about it for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's a political win. I mean, I think it's just speaking for no one for myself here, but I think that the stronger they pursue this, the stronger it's going to help them politically.
Well, you know, it has, and you might recall a couple of years ago, the Democrats. You know, prior to the Obama election, in that summer, the Democrats, you know, sort of started saying for a while that they really weren't very much in favor of offshore drilling. Republicans hammered it home, particularly on the talk radio shows, speaking about the need to be energy independent and not dependent on Mideast oil. And at the end of the day, the Democrats backed off their position and began to support it. So we saw that nationally, and I think the Republicans in Virginia think the same thing's going to happen in state politics, and the Democrats have to be very, very careful about how enthusiastically they're going to be opposed to this.
Yeah, definitely, because that could hurt them.
Yeah,
I think it could hurt them.
Sense. I mean, it's one of these issues that everybody, in the environmental movement, very, very, very suspect of this, you might say. But at the same time, they haven't yet completely proven their ability to get votes on this issue.
Yeah. Personally, I think if you can go out there and get the oil out of the ground and it can be safe And they're telling us that, you know, this can be safe. If a major mishap happens, it can be a disaster, but that's true if a plane falls out of the sky, you know? But by and large, it's safe, and I think it's a good thing. I mean, I'm personally for it.
Well, if it produces jobs, if it gives Virginia an ongoing source of revenue, if it gives even further diversification to the Virginia economy, it's going to be a pretty powerful political argument.
Absolutely.
And one that the Democrats are going to be wary to oppose. And you saw that with our congressional delegation, particularly our senators Mark Warner and Jib Webb, who certainly weren't attempting to be at all an obstacle in preventing this from happening.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, before we let you go, what's the latest on George Allen? Is he going to run for governor again?
Well, you know, there was an article in the RTD that said that he was more likely to run for governor largely because he liked that job far more than he liked the Senate. And that's true. But my guess is that trying to become governor is very much too complicated. You got two statewide office holders in Bill Bowling and Ken Cuccinelli. You kind of have an open path to the Senate. You know, and I would just tell you, I was giving a talk to a Republican group a couple of weeks ago, and the moderator for the event was Susan Allen, the spouse of former senator and former Governor Allen. And I could tell you that she knew Jim Webb's voting record backwards and forward.
What are they reading at her house?
To me, like a family that's been talking a little bit about a Senate run.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, Bob Holsworth, the website is virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, have a great week. Thank you, sir.
You too. Always great to talk to you, Coy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.